It is.
Even better. So, I'm sure you know that, for those of you who don't, I'm part of the leadership at King's Church in Redditch, as well as being a member here. So, there's a group of us who are planting a church in Redditch, and we're having some fun with that at the moment. Lots of good things happening. So I just thought I'd give you a bit of an update on where we are. We're currently now meeting twice a month on Sunday mornings, as well as in the week. And we meet on the second Sunday and the fourth Sunday of the month. I think I'm going to need this higher. Sorry. If I can get it higher. We meet on the second Sunday and the fourth Sunday of each month. At the moment, it's in our home. Great.
That looks so good. Can you remember it? Is it? Yeah. Yeah, 30. Sorry.
Sorry about this. Talk among yourselves for a minute. Or perhaps I'll just carry on. No, I'll just carry on. So the plan is that we'll take the fourth Sunday into a public venue in January. We found a venue in the middle of town, which we hope is going to work. We're just trying to get a definite response if we can have it or not. And then we'll look at it in more detail and see if it's going to work for us. So that's the plan, that we'll be kicking off. We're calling it a soft launch in January. On the fourth Sunday, it's the 22nd. So we're looking for a bit of help with that, and we are going to ask you if a few people would come on that fourth Sunday, not necessarily the first one, but each fourth Sunday in the months next year. We don't want too many, but we'd like a couple, and we'd like to organise it so that we get a few people each month to help us putting the chairs out, making the coffee, singing, smiling at whoever's preaching, because that always helps, and so forth. So if you're interested in that, perhaps you'd like to speak to Helen about it, and she will put your name on the list, and we'll try and coordinate it so we don't get loads of people one month and nobody the next. So that would be good. So we met this morning and had a great time. There weren't that many of us this morning, but it was great. And we've got to the stage now where when we come together to worship, we're relaxed with one another. The worship just goes. It's great. So we're having a lot of fun. And trying hard to make contact with other people, and we're doing outreach once a month, going out onto the streets in Redditch, talking to people, and we've had some great times doing that, and just making lots of contacts as far as we can, trying to get people to what we really like to grow by people becoming Christians. Of course, we don't want to attract people from other churches, but you know, we're praying about that. So keep praying for us, keep praying that people become Christians, and pray for that venue, that it will come together. So, and interestingly, this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 relates to this and is important to us, because as you read through the New Testament, you find actually the New Testament is about church planting. I've been reading through Acts in the mornings recently, very slowly, and it's all about church planting. And it's all about people going to different places, maybe because they're being persecuted or they're having problems where they are, going to a new place, talking to the people around them about the gospel. Loads of people becoming Christians, although there's opposition, and they're starting churches. So Corinth, I'll tell you a bit about Corinth. I did talk a bit about this passage in July, but I'm sure you've forgotten, and I can't remember exactly what I said, so if I repeat myself, hopefully it won't matter too much. So Corinth is actually on the Mediterranean. It's right where Greece and Turkey meet. It was a Roman city. It was a large international city where all kinds of people mixed up together. There was a lot of trade. There was a lot of cargo coming in and out of the port. There were people speaking different languages. There were Greeks, that was the main language, but people also spoke Latin. There were Syrians, there were Jews, there were people from Asia, there were Egyptians. There were all kinds of people. It was a mix. It was a bit like New York in our day. Big mix. The Big Apple of the Mediterranean. And Paul goes there, and you can read about it in Acts 18, and he plants a church. And he has a lot of problems there, as he did in many places. And he plants a church. And this, the letter that we have in the New Testament, there were two letters. In fact, there were originally three, but there are two that we have remaining in the New Testament. Is Paul writing to this church he has planted and telling them some good stuff that they need to work out in the church. Corinth was known for immorality. That's what it was about. It was a pagan city. They did everything in excess, and there was a great deal of immorality. So if the whole name of the town, the city, became known as a place of immorality, so that if you were Corinthianizing something, it was becoming immoral. You know, it was, the name of the town was used to describe something that was immoral. So Paul goes there with Silas and Timothy, and he plants a church, and it's very mixed. There are poor people, there are very rich people, there's all sorts. And in a sense, that's what we're trying to do in Redditch. It's a very mixed place with lots of nationalities, lots of people speaking different languages, and we want in Redditch to reflect that. We don't want to just be one type of person, people. We want to reflect the whole range of the culture, if we can. Now, that's easier said than done, and Paul's writing to the Corinthians because they're having all kinds of problems with it, and he's trying to help them. It's a big church by this time. There's lots going on. They have all kinds of gifts. They're very prosperous. But he writes to them because he regards them as being dysfunctional. From outside, it looks like a super church. Big, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of gifts, all kinds of spiritual gifts, all kinds of miracles happening. But it's not going well. And he writes to them about what to do about that. And you can read that if you read the letter. It's great. But this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 is about spiritual gifts in the context of the body. How to use spiritual gifts for the purpose of the body, to help the body. And the body is the church. Paul uses the image of a body to describe what a church is like, or could be like, or should be like. So I've given a few people some passages to read out. So I think whoever's got 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, I think it might be Steve. Can you come up and just read those verses? So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11.
There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one in the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines.
Thank you very much. So Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit here. He's talking about gifts that God has given to the church. that they need. And actually, in Corinth, they've got them in abundance. But in Corinth, they're not really using them for the benefit of the church. They're using them to big themselves up. It's become a place of egos and conflict and cliques. So there are different groups that see things slightly differently and they're not getting on that well. But they've got all these gifts. So Paul's telling them that, hang on a minute, there are different kinds of gifts, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the gifts that we have as a church are given, not for us individually, primarily, they're given for the benefit of the whole church. So if you have a particular gift that God has given you, or that you would like God to give you, he's giving it for the benefit of the whole church. It's there for the church. It's not there primarily for us individually. And he goes on to talk about the church as a body. So and that's where I want to focus mainly today, on the church as a body. It's God who resources and equips the church. So we need to look to him. We look to him to resource us. We're looking to him in Redditch to give us the gifts that we're lacking. There are only a few of us. We have some gifts, but we need more. We need more gifts. And us here as in Bromsgrove, as Grace Church, we need more gifts. We need more people. We need more people with more gifts. We need to develop the gifts that we've got here for the benefit of the whole body, so that the body is built up and equipped and that we care for one another. So we need all these gifts. And where we're lacking them, we need to call to the giver, God who is the giver. Now when we think about a body, and we think about how it is to live these days, how it is to live in our society these days, and what a community is like, actually, what Paul's calling us to here is very countercultural. It's very different from the world that we live in. We live in a world where we're encouraged to be individuals, where the individual is everything, where when you look at the kind of adverts that you see on the TV, it's all about us being able to do what makes us feel good, what makes us more distinctive, that makes us different from the next person. And if you look at adverts and you see what they're talking to, a lot of it is that, about being an individual, expressing who we are, finding out who we are and being different from the next person. And shall we celebrate people being individual and being different? And we are individuals and we don't have to be the same. And there's nothing wrong with being different from someone else. But in the body, we're called to togetherness. It's about being together, not being somebody special, not being something better or different from all the other people. We're called to be together. It's interesting what Jonathan was saying earlier about that story about the grandmother. And when I first became a Christian, I wasn't brought up as a Christian, there were Christians in my family. I was a student, I went off to study. And the guy in the next door room to me in college was a Christian. And the first week, you know, they have this sort of freshers' fair, they used to call it in those days, I don't know if they still do, where you could go and all the clubs and societies would put on a big display and you could see what you'd want to join. And they'd always try and sign you up to get your money the first week. And so that, because they know that you wouldn't carry on going, and they'd get your money if they signed you up. So I went along to that, and I met some Christians. Now, to me at the time, they were weird. They were very weird people. And I didn't like to get too close, because I thought, you know, there might be something that rubs off. There might be some weirdness that comes over. So I didn't want to have much to do with them, but my friend was, and I didn't know anybody except this guy in the room next door. No, I'm going to come and find this stand for the Christian Union. I want to see what they're doing, and I want to join up with them. So I went across, and of course, they asked me my name, where's your room, which college you're in, and they write your name down. And of course, that was enough for them. They were on it then. And you know, the next day is someone banging on the door. Oh, why don't you come to have coffee, or why don't you come to round to my place, or we've got this thing going on. And so I got kind of drawn into it because I didn't know anybody else. So, but the thing that really struck me, the thing that was attractive, was not the teaching, it was the relationships. It was the relationships that drew me, and I could see these people have something different about them. They have a quality of relationships I have never seen before. They somehow related and connected to each other in ways, I didn't know what it was, I didn't know what it was about them, but I knew there was something quite different there. And it was when they were together, they were relating together, they were talking together, they were being together, that you could see the kingdom at work. There was something of the glory of God in them together, in their relationships. And this is what the church is. It's the togetherness. We're restored in our relationship to God. And because of that, we can be, and we are being, restored in our relationships to one another. And it's very different. It's not the kind of individual ego thing that you can see in other places. So, and people notice it. People see it. They do. They really see it. So let's just read a passage here about the body. Someone's got 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 31. Thank you. So we are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Together. We're the body together. We're not a collection of individuals that happen to come together to help one another, to worship together. But we are the body working together, and God is looking for a body. God is looking for a people. He's always been looking for a people. Right back to the beginning of the Bible, God says, let us make man in our image. It's plural. Let us make man in our image. And the nature of God is, that's Genesis 1 verse 26. The nature of God is togetherness. It's the Trinity, it's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There is in the very nature of God a togetherness. And his whole outworking of the kingdom of God is looking for a people, a community, a body, people together. That's what he's looking for. And he works out things. He works out the gifts of the Spirit. He works out the work of the Holy Spirit. He's working out outreach, reaching people, restoring through the togetherness, through the body. That's what it's about. So we're getting called to that, and we're on a journey, we're moving there, we don't always get it right, but that's what we're aiming at. So let's look at this model for the body. Someone else has got 1 Corinthians 12, 14, 26. I think it's Claire.
Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts of one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part joins with it.
Thank you very much. So the body is designed to work together. We're designed to work together. And our gifts work best when they're in connection with all the other people around us. So, if you're doing something that requires meticulous work, you need your hand and your eye to work together. If you're cutting up something with a sharp knife, you look carefully, you hold it carefully, you operate the knife carefully. All the bits of your body work together to carry out that function. And Paul's using that image. It's an image. It's a story way of looking at how the church works. We work together. If one person gets hurt, then we all are hurt, in a sense. Now, if you scratch your car, I don't know how often you scratch your car. I scratch my car now and again. It still goes the same. If you scratch your car against the side of the house or the hedge, and you get in and drive it, it still drives fine, doesn't it? It doesn't go any slower. It goes at the same speed because it's a machine. But if you hurt your foot, and it might only be a small hurt, your whole body slows down. Now, I happen to have a sore on my foot at the moment. Something I can get in the winter sometimes, and walking on it can be quite painful. So when I'm going to work and I'm in a rush, I can't go very fast because my foot hurts. So it's only a small thing, it's a tiny, tiny crack in my heel. You can hardly see it, but it hurts. And it affects the whole of me, affects my whole body because it slows me down. It is annoying. It means I can't function quite as I would. And isn't that true, that you get one small part of you that causes you a trouble and it affects all of you? And if you ever had a tooth problem, and it's only a small thing, but it can really cause you trouble, can't it? So the body works together. It's organic. And we work together. We are organic. And all our gifts work best when they're used together and we operate together. And that reflects the image of God, because that's how God works. That's how he operates. He works together, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. You see all of God at work together. So how do we go about doing this? We are there, but we can do better. Because our society and the way we have been brought up and the things we see around us now are so individualistic that we don't even know quite how community works anymore, I believe. And I believe that we're so given to being individualistic, we're so given to think, how can I do something? You know, what's working for me? Where am I going? That we can so easily lose sight of the fact that God has a bigger picture for us. So how do we go about this? Because it's not so easy to do. Our vision in Redditch, as I said, is for church as community. And we're aiming to model that. It's going to take a while. It might take a long time. But that's what we're trying to do. I'd like to just give you some tips that struck me about how we go about this. First one is, let's be grateful for everybody. Gratitude and thankfulness. You know, we're all different. And some people are easier to get on with than others. Some people we like more than others. Some people seem to be more important than others. But actually, to God, we're all important. We're all special. And let's be thankful for all of us. And be thankful for all the gifts that God gives us and all the people. Because all of us are gifts. We're all gifts to the body. And we're all important in the body. Let's develop our gifts. Whatever we're good at, let's develop it in the context of other people. So, you know, if you want to learn to do outreach, or you want to learn to cook, or you want to learn to preach, or whatever it happens to be, you know, ask other people. Ask them to help you. Ask them to give you feedback. Ask them to give you ideas how to do better. It works best in that context. One thing that's really important, I think, is honesty. And we're not always very good at being honest in church. We don't always say it quite as it is. We sometimes like to put on a brave face. We like to make things look better. Sometimes, you know, we can, and I do this as much as anybody else. I want you to think of me as I am on my best days, not my worst days. I'm quite happy if you just see me on my best days. On my worst days, I might not like you to see how I am and how I behave. So let's not pretend to be more than we are, or better than we are, or bigger than we are, or cleverer than we are. It's okay just to be us, who we are. That's okay. Let's just be straightforward. And let's be intentional about connecting with people that we don't naturally like or get on well with. Let's go out of our way in church, in the body, to connect with those people that we don't normally speak to. You know, perhaps if you're a younger person, make a point of talking to an older person. If you're an older person, make a point of speaking to a younger person. And, you know, if you've got a family, think about the people that are single. And if you're single, think about the people that have families. You know, let's be intentional about connecting with people that are not quite natural, easy for us. Let's go for it. And let's listen. You know, most people are not great listeners. A lot of people, I don't know if you find this, a lot of people are waiting for you to stop speaking so it's their turn to speak. Do you do that? Recently I had a very bad tooth problem. I had a wisdom tooth that really gave me a lot of trouble. And I had to have an appointment at the hospital to get it out. And I was slightly uncertain about it because the dentist had spent 40 minutes tugging it and broke it and couldn't get it out and gave up, wore herself out. So I had this appointment. I went into work. I was telling people, I'm not going to be in this particular day. I've got this appointment. So they're like, oh, what's that? Wisdom tooth. So they're asking me, oh, how's that going? And then as soon as I started speaking, they butted in and told me about all the problems they'd ever had with their teeth. Didn't listen at all to what my problem was. So I ended up sympathising with their problem rather than telling them about my problem I got now, and they're talking about something I had 5 years ago. And they'd forgotten and walk away and completely forgotten that I was telling them about my tooth. So the point is that it's much easier to talk than it is to listen. We don't always listen too well. So let's listen, because that really is helpful. And finally, you know, I think of when I think of my grandchildren and I see them playing together, being together, my family coming together, my sons and daughters and their children all relating together, it makes me feel happy. It's good. It's good to see that. It's good to see the family relating and being there and connecting and not needing me to make it happen, just being there. And I'm sure that's how God is with us. He looks, he sees us together, and I'm sure he's proud of his children getting on, working together, being the body together. I'm sure he is. So I'm gonna wind up at this stage. So, but I'd just like to pray about this. And not everybody finds church very easy. Most of us at times find church not very easy. And we don't get on that well with everybody. There are issues that we have, things come up. That's just the way it is. But we work at it, we go on, and God gives us the blessing in that. So I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would, and I'd like to pray for us all, because I think we all can learn, we all can develop, we all can grow. And I'm just going to pray. And if you feel that you're actually, you don't belong that well, you're not that important, that you don't have much of a gift to contribute, I'm going to pray for you because you are important. We're all important. If you're finding at the moment other people irritating, I'm going to pray for you because we all find each other irritating at times. If you're the kind of person that prefers just to do your own thing and not be part of the body, just do your own thing in your own way, I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray about that, because we are called to be disciples, and being a disciple means being part of the community. God never intended disciples to be individuals. Being a disciple is about working it out in the context of the body. So, and let's pray about that. So Lord, we thank you that you've brought us together. We thank you for your loving heart. We thank you that you've restored us into a relationship with you. And Lord, we pray that you'd work that out more and more in our relationships together. We pray that our relationship together as body would reflect the heart of God. And we pray, Lord, for the times when we feel unimportant or unvalued, we pray that we would know that we're valuable to you. And we pray that you'd help us to connect, to look out for those that are on the edge. And we pray that you'd help us to be disciples together, working out the image of God for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you very much.